intercepted and going back the other way. It's to Dwight Lowry. He's got blockers, and he gets to the 40, and he spins. He stays on his feet to the 36. The closer.
Welcome to the Mike Mularkey Show on the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. Join Jaguars head coach Mike Mularkey and the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, for the latest news and information on your Jacksonville Jaguars.
Straight from the head coach.
The Mike Mularkey Show is brought to you by Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Wells Fargo, American Express, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's Brian Sexton.
All right, here we go. Welcome to the Mike Mularkey Show on a Monday evening, a Victory Monday for the Jaguars. And right after this program, you can switch the radio off, turn the TV on, and check out Jaguars All Access on CBS 47. Jeff Loggeman is with Dwight Lowry this evening. That's Dwight Lowry on Jaguars All Access, 7 o'clock on CBS 47. We bring in the head coach of the Jaguars, Mike Mularkey. Coach, how are you tonight?
Better than I've been.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is kind of a nice feeling here on a Monday. And it's... I think you turned my mic off, Joe. You all right? Yeah, okay. Joe was so excited to turn my mic off. Just wanted to hear you speak. And I'm sure lots of fans do tonight. That was a tough stretch. I mean, that's an understatement, I know. But 8 weeks, essentially, when you throw the bye week in there without having this feeling of validation, it's a long stretch to work.
It is. It's very hard. But I give credit to our players and my coaching staff that really, really just stayed focused and kept plugging away and, just still felt confident in every game that we played. And, again, did that yesterday. But we've got a great group, very mentally tough, resilient team that's in that locker room that I haven't used the word blue collar, but they're just a bunch of guys that come to work every day and want to win for this city and this organization. And I want to talk about our fans for a second. I thought it was great to have them there yesterday. The support, they've been very supportive of us through this stretch and then stick through four quarters yesterday. Didn't want it to come down to be that tight of a game, but it was, and they were there for us as they've been throughout the season. Appreciate it.
Well, and early on I made the comment to Jeff, the Jaguars are going to have to do something to create their own energy early to get this crowd, you know, believing again. And you did. I mean, that was it. Early on, you know, the tip ball interception, they get the field goal. You kind of see people go, uh-oh. And then you go down the field, you score the touchdown, and people went, yes. And then that energy that we hadn't seen much was back in the building.
Right. It was good. I mean, you would think it would have been, here we go again with the first play. Real play, we had an offsides on the first play, but the real play that Chad had the tip ball, and then our defense did a great job of coming out there and holding them to a field goal. They had six drives or places that they were on the 25-yard line or closer to our end zone and held them to one touchdown, and that was huge. But our guys never flinched yesterday, never blinked, and they could have easily because we have not had things go our way a lot at home, especially at home games, and to come back and just keep plugging away, and really that was probably the most complete game we've played in all three phases of the year at home.
And by the way, and you may or may not want to answer this because it's about officiating, but come on, send Derek Marks on that first play of the game. Offsides is one thing. Nailing the quarterback is a completely different thing. That's the third time this year that it's happened, and there's only been a flag thrown once.
Well, I don't know if it's again, it's just my opinion. It's nothing about – I thought really the officiating yesterday was very good.
Well, Walt Anderson's an excellent official.
Yeah,
I'm just surprised they don't call that.
No, that one, we've had it happen a number of times. And it's really important because we're talking about protecting players and really protecting the quarterback. And we've had it happen a number of times. And they've been serious hits, violent hits on really defenseless quarterbacks. And you just don't want that. You just want – you got to send a message and – a flag right there would have sent a message early in the game, first play of the game. But they just didn't call. And we've had that all year.
Well, they're so serious about the quarterback. And I guess that's why I bring it up. Because every time a quarterback, even if it's questionable, whether it's a Jaguars defender or an opponent's defender hitting the Jaguars player, I just almost immediately assume the flag is coming out because they're so sensitive to making sure that they do protect the quarterback. And when he threw him down, there was a flag. I thought, okay, well, this should be 15 yards. And it wasn't. So I imagine that's something that the competition committee will be talking about.
We'll talk about it when the season's over with. You know, those are things that you do when you go to the owners' meetings. You talk about things. You bring the tape to support what you believe. And,
right.
And just make sure you just wanted to, we wanted no gray, wanted to be clear cut that this is an infraction or not. That's all.
So after that, from that point on in the ball game, falling down 3-0, Chad Henne didn't flinch. took the sacks, and you've talked at length today, and we'll talk about it a little bit more about the sacks that he took and the gutsy performance to stand in there and just keep throwing the ball.
Well, really, you talked about after they kicked the field goal, we went down and scored. Actually, we went down. We moved the ball down there, and then we ended up having three sacks on that one drive that knocked us out of field goal range. And which is, that's frustrating because you did put a good drive together, and then all of a sudden you just couldn't finish it, and with negative plays happening. And that's what I thought. Here's our guys. They've had the interception. They've had the sacks, and they just kept playing. And there was nothing on the sideline that showed that they didn't feel like they could move the ball yesterday against that defense. And I was very proud of how they just kept plugging away.
When you see seven sacks, the natural inclination is to worry, do I have a problem up front? It didn't sound like that from your comments at your news conference earlier today. You said that some of them are really simple mistakes that can be corrected. Is that the case?
Well, I don't want you to think that seven sacks is not a problem. It is a problem. I mean, you're not going to win a lot of games with seven sacks. Right. I mean, there's nothing positive about it. And yesterday was a great example of it, how it knocked us out of field goal range. And maybe more. I don't know what we'd have finished the drive, but there were things that we can fix that were some mistakes that really were not like some of our guys that they made. And I think they realized it immediately, and we'll fix it. We'll definitely address it, and we'll look at, are we doing too much, that there's too much thinking going on to make the mistakes we made. But they were mistakes we haven't made all year.
But they were mental more than physical mistakes is what I took away from it.
On a couple
Meaning
of the sacks.
Meaning guys were just overwhelmed.
There was a couple that we were not firm up front. Okay. We were not. And that's the line. That's the tight ends. That's the backs. Okay, where we were not physically firm, we did not. We lost a one-on-one block somewhere. And but there were other ones where we had free runners. When I say free runners, unblocked. Defenders coming, that it was more us than it was their scheme of a breakdown.
Sure, it's a whole lot more fun to talk about giving up seven sacks when you win, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I don't like to talk about I don't like our quarterback getting hit at right. any time. And I think, our guys take a lot of pride in that. I mean, obviously, who's ever standing back there? But, we have to address that, no question, because, we're playing a pretty good front that
you bet.
Can get after the quarterback as well, and we got to address it.
All right, we need to take a break. We'll come back. More with head coach Mike Mularkey in the aftermath of the Jaguars' 24-19 win yesterday over the Titans. And you need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today. They're a proud sponsor of the Jaguars, and we're back after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. The Jaguars Rewards Program is now better than ever. Season ticket owners get all the great premium benefits like Teal Deals and the Gate Gas Redemption Program, but it's now open to all Jaguars fans. Get great discounts, cash back, and register to win a trip to the Super Bowl. Visit Jaguars.com and click on the Jaguars Rewards logo to start earning your rewards today. Of course, you can join us on the program, Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars, at Jags Voice via Twitter, and we will get your thoughts on to the coach. Normally we'd start talking about the quarterback here, but let's touch on special teams for a minute, Coach, because your punter yesterday averaged, at one point it was 52.7, I think he finished about 48, 49, had a bunch of punts pinned down inside the 20. Your coverage teams on the kickoff, the Darius Renaud came out a couple of times and got buried at the 15. Unofficially, I think you had him inside the 20-yard line six, maybe even seven times.
That's right.
Great coverage after a week in which you gave up some yards in Houston.
Right, they really had to respond, and that was one of our we talk on Saturday night about the keys to the game, and that was one of the things we touched upon. I just said we have to be a dominant special teams in all six phases, because that's a good special teams. Tennessee has very good special teams, and they had 2 weeks to prepare for us, and they are very good at the gadget trick plays of getting you out of position.
Alan Lowry's been around a long time.
And he's very good at designing things that work. And we were a little bit concerned about it. So the one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to play tentative, worrying about being, tricked into seeing something that's not really happening and lose your aggressiveness, because that is our style, is aggressive play. And I thought our guys really handled it well. And we had a couple things we needed to clean up. We almost had a punt blocked early in the game and just miscommunication. But other than that, our cover guys, they were flying around, really flying around. And Brian did a great job.
He drilled it.
And we had guys that like an Antoine Blake who does everything exactly like you ask him to do. I mean, he just does it right and made a big play, pinning him down there on the 3-yard line. You know, we got a lot of young guys playing for us on special teams. A lot of rookies, 5 rookies running down on kickoff. That's a lot of trust.
Yeah, you bet it is.
against really good returners, and you know, we're doing a good job. We're getting better, and that's, I mean, they take a lot of pride in it.
You know, you kind of know it's your day when your punter misses and it takes a great bounce, like he did on that last one.
Those are the bounces that have not bounced our way. That day we got some bounces yesterday, and that helped with the win. But that was one punt that we really needed
right.
to launch,
and it didn't, and
we got a terrific bounce, and our guys were smart. They let the clock run. You know, if you ever watch, they didn't pick it up, which would have burned a couple more seconds. And
right.
you're talking seconds in games like this can be the difference in one more play that they get a chance to take a shot down the field. So. A lot of really little things that people don't know. Our special teams did very well yesterday.
You know, Coach, it feels like the last 2 games now, some things have started to go your way. You know, so the bounce has started to happen. You know, tip balls get intercepted as opposed to dropped. And I'm one of those guys, please, you make your own luck. I mean, you create that.
No question.
But occasionally, you know, it does have to tip and go your way. And the last 2 weeks, it seems like it has.
It has. You know, even some of the plays, one that they challenged where they were down in the end zone, that it was, you know, very, very close to being a touchdown. They've been getting in on those plays. You know, and we just need to have some of those things go our way, and they have, and it certainly helped us yesterday. But our guys have been – I just thought our guys were very, very well-prepared and ready to play this game yesterday.
And resilient. And they kept saying it in the locker room afterwards, that they just kept fighting no matter what.
Than they have the whole year, and that's what I want to really stress that to our fans out there, that our players take a lot of pride in representing this organization and this city and their fans, and they've been disappointed with the way this season has turned out. But you know, our mindset is to finish strong. But the entire time, it has been nothing but hard work and coming out and trying to win these games, and everybody giving their best effort.
Hey, it's a difficult season, so. How much does one win mean? How much lift does it give your team on an off day? You know, how much can they relax a little bit and not worry? And then, how do they come to the practice field on Wednesday and Thursday?
I think they'll come back like they have every Wednesday.
So you don't think it's a significant change?
I don't think so, just because based on the character of the guys in that locker room. After the Texans game, you know, my message to them was, we have shown what we're capable of. And then I said, now we need to show that we can. And we did the next week. We showed that we can be productive and win games. And that was important, because when you lose overtime games, especially like we've lost 3 of them, there is a big impact on you emotionally. And you don't have a lot of energy, positive energy, to get you motivated to come back in there and get ready to go, because they are such downers, especially when you lose overtime games. So I was a little bit concerned going in Monday about how these guys are going to respond to that loss to the Texans. And here's Tennessee coming off of a bye, and our guys came in like I kind of knew they would. And they completely made, you know, anything I was worried about, eliminated it right off the bat.
All right, so there's not a significant residual effect from one win then. But if there's some positive energy that they feel on game day, more confidence, anything?
Well, there'll be I can tell you, the energy will be better. It's just a natural reaction when you come in here, and sometimes we have to do some things coaching to create that energy, and our staff has been very good about doing that, and our players have just followed the lead, and it's, you know, I think that's why we're still playing at a high level, I mean, high effort in showing up every Sunday.
Right, and with 5 games left to play, that gives you a chance to create some momentum at the end of the season.
That's what we'd like to do.
All right, folks, you could try Sonny's Chicken and Ribs, just $10.99. You get a huge helping of their barbecue chicken and sweet and smoky ribs, plus 2 of your favorite sidekicks, and then either garlic bread or cornbread, and it's all just $10.99. Sonny's is the first name in barbecue. We're back after this on Jaguars Radio. Well, get a great deal on our Ford F-150 during Truck Month at your local Southern Ford dealers. Brian Sexton back with the Jaguars head coach Mike Mularkey at Jags Voice, Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars for your thoughts, questions, and comments. Chad Hemme. Guy, we talked about his resilience, talked about the hits that he took, but, you know, he's been in the last 2 weeks, and, Coach, he has done nothing but impress. I mean, he just has been a really good football player for your football team.
Really gutsy performance yesterday with, you know, first of all, to throw that pick, not let it affect the rest of the game, and then to be hit, you know, sacked seven times. There's some guys that there's just no way they could stay in that pocket and still make some of the throws that he made. And he made some really good throws. Made some good decisions. Still has things, you know. He's again just first start in the system. He still has things that he, some decisions that he's got to make better, like getting rid of it on a couple of those third downs where we were in field goal range. Again, things that he's going to learn from.
What's the difference between the Oakland game and the Texans and then the Titans game? Is it more reps on the practice field? Is it him knowing, you know, going into the game, saying, I'm the starter, I have to be the guy?
The only thing I know that was different from the Oakland game, he did not play great in the Oakland game.
Right.
Okay, we had that 14-point lead, and it was solely not on him that we did not win that game. Right. Let me say that. But the one thing about these last two games, he went into the Texans game literally in the first drive. I mean, we were the seventh play. He's already in the game. So he started this one. So as a former player, I know that when I started games or I was involved very early and you get comfortable and you get confident in what's going on, the flow of the game, much better production. But when you have to go into a game midway through or like he did in the second half, it's just not – I mean, you got to – it's just different. And
right.
I'm not saying that's the difference, but that's the only thing I can tell. It's, you know, those are the only differences that I see in the games.
Well, some of his offensive players, and I think even you said, you know, the extra work that he put in, staying after the meeting on Saturday night, you know, the attention to detail that he puts in with the way that he, you know, guys run their routes against certain coverages. I mean, clearly he has embraced being the starting quarterback here. And probably most importantly, he's learned from Miami.
Oh, I'm sure he has.
The Miami experience has to have impacted how he's playing right now.
No question about that. And really, it was really impressive to watch him the whole week of how he handled things. You know, he's never really stepped over the line when Blaine was starting. He's tried to help Blaine be that kind of leader, which I really have been impressed with both of them. But it's really, this is not bad for Blaine to watch exactly what's going on with Chad in the locker room, in the meetings, after meetings. Really, I always say it's the things that you do when nobody's watching that make you great. And I just know that he is constantly working with guys. You should see him work the sideline. I mean, that there's always great communication with Chad and the players these last 2 weeks, and that's really, really important.
Well, and the relationship, clearly, he's fostered with the young receivers already. I mean, Cecil, another big play yesterday, a 59-yard touchdown. And Justin had a couple of big catches, none bigger than the touchdown that gave you the 21-12 lead.
Boy, that was a big play, and that was a great run by him. I mean, he had to be a physical runner to get it over the line, and that was a big play for us. And then Cecil, I haven't been around a guy that can make an average catch into an explosive touchdown like he can. And I think I said it today in the press, he's just scratching the surface of how good of a receiver he can be with more time.
You, safe to say, you didn't necessarily see this coming from him when you first saw him in the OTAs. I mean, he was so rough because he missed so much time with a hamstring last year, and it was just a difficult situation. To see him explode like this has to be a very pleasant.
Oh, it's great. Coaches
experience.
Love him. I mean, he's really been he's fun to work with because he does everything exactly like you want him to do it. And I know Jerry Sullivan's done a good job with him, teaching him the little things about that route. Because really, last year was he was behind the eight ball. This year, it's really his rookie year, in our opinion,
right,
of learning how to be a pro, learning how to be a pro wide receiver, to do the little things of how to get open, and then obviously he doesn't need to be told what to do after he catches it.
No, he knows.
But I just, you know, he's what's amazing is he's so fast that players have taken poor angles to try to tackle him, and you just can't do that with this guy.
You know, guys like me, broadcasters and writers, are going to make the natural, you know, tandem comments. You know, you've got two guys now in Blackman and Shorts that have both scored in back-to-back weeks. You know, last week Justin had a big day, and Cecil had 81 yards and a touchdown. And this week, Cecil has the big day, and Justin has 62 yards and a big touchdown. I mean, these two guys are starting to play off of one another a little bit.
No, they are. They
give you something you can really work with.
It's been fun to watch the development. And you're talking about two really young guys. And, I still think Chad Henne's a young quarterback.
By number of starts, he certainly is.
We've got young guys at skill positions right now that are – really, it's fun watching them develop together and make some plays. And, there's good things ahead if these guys continue on the path that they're going.
Well, and I like the fact that both of them scored in each of the last 2 weeks because, I mean, it shows their ability, Coach, to be so productive for you and to make those kinds of plays that, you know, give you the lead. Both of them did.
It does. It's a lot of confidence, not just for themselves, which, you know, they got to – that's a position that you're going to line up outside and go, nobody can cover me.
Right.
And each week that this production's happening, I just think that confidence is getting greater and greater. And it's really the quarterback trusts them.
Is it too early to suggest that they're opening things up for someone else, for Mercedes in the middle? I mean, have you started to see defenses adjust?
I still haven't seen where they're going. We have to take one guy away because he's going to just absolutely change the game. I think they're threatened, definitely more threatened than they were when the season started.
The time will come if these guys keep developing that will happen.
They'll have to adjust to one of them, and that will open up. That opens up the run game as well. I mean, you see it week in and week out. You try to take one thing away, something else is going to get exposed.
All right, we got to start talking about Buffalo Bills, this week's opponent. That is a 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday, and we get started with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show at 10 o'clock Sunday morning, live from Ralph Wilson Stadium. Jaguars pregame comes along for all of those of you on the network at noon, followed by kickoff at 1, and, of course, the Winn-Dixie postgame show and the Southern Ford Dealers scoreboard show. Well, you can pick up your Denny's Playmaker card at participating Denny's locations and learn how you can win a Mega Jaguars fan experience at the December 23rd home game against the Patriots. No purchase is necessary. We're back after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back. Well, you could be driving a brand new Kia Optima by registering to win Conn's Kia. Stop by Southside Kia or Kia of Orange Park for your chance to win. Before we move on to the Bills, you mentioned earlier in news conference that Jalen Parmalee played a courageous game because he was really hurting with the groin.
Really hurting. He did pull the muscle. And some of those runs that you saw where he was running over people, literally running over, creating his own lanes, he was literally dragging his leg doing it. And, I was asked, why didn't you take him out? Well, he was being so productive, one-legged. I have a hard time having guys that want to play and that play hurt and play that are productive now. I have a hard time holding them back. It was really because their teammates love that. That's what they were out there for. And, it says a lot about him. One of the more courageous things I've seen.
Well, he wanted to play. I mean, because he was warming up on the sideline, the bike. I mean, stretching out. I mean, he would not be told no.
No, he was wrapped like you cannot believe. And I'm serious. He was playing on one leg and just running over people, over defenders.
Safe to say, Rashad Jennings is going to have to be able to carry the load on Sunday in Buffalo.
Well, we're going to have to, Montel. We're looking at this position right now, but. Because of where Maurice Jones,
we're
a little banged up in a couple areas, but we'll adjust and we'll find a way to, get a run game going.
Running game cranked out 100 yards. It was the first time since the last win in Indianapolis that you crossed that 100-yard marker. And even though this is a passing league, the ability to run the ball obviously was never more important than yesterday.
No, it's very important that we can run the football. And I'm disappointed it's taking this long to get back up over the 100-yard mark. But we had some guys really. Even Rashad, I thought, ran hard. Very physical runs. And, we got to have that kind of production with him. Hit some holes here or there a little better than he has. But we got the run game is very important in this offense.
All right, the Bills on Sunday. Obviously, this is a football team. It's sitting at 4-7. And they made a huge splash on the defensive side of the ball last spring. They signed Mario Williams from the Texans. It was a $100 million contract, and they brought in Mark Anderson, a defensive end, a guy who's had multiple, 10-sack seasons, to go with Marcell Dareus and Kyle Williams. That's a formidable front.
Really good front. Just watching tape on him today, that's very good. You're talking about a lot of number ones on this defense, number one picks.
Yeah, Darius for sure.
They're very stout. I mean, we've got to do a good job, especially after they're going to sit there and think it's going to be easy pickings after they see. They may not see have seen the tape, but they'll look at seven sacks and think, hey, this is, we can't wait for them to get up here. Well, we better fix some things, and we better do a better job because they are a good front four.
Well, yeah, we talked a little bit earlier about, you know, some simple things that you said could happen to change it. And I go back to the Houston game where the protection was really good against an excellent Houston front.
It really was, and that's because we didn't make some of the mistakes. And some of the mistakes we made were going back to training camp, that they've been the same rules. Because one thing we want to make sure, there's always a rule for everything that can happen to you. So there's nothing I've never heard or I've never seen. So they're prepared for anything that we maybe didn't practice against.
Right.
And some of the things we did were just uncharacteristic of some of our guys.
So, in other words, the ability to go back and play well like you did against the Texans is here for you on Sunday against the Bills, and in fact, you really need it.
Again, that's something we are completely in control of, and that's not self-inflicting some of the things we have done to ourselves. And that we did that a lot yesterday. I mean, more than I think people realize, you know, some of the penalties we had. Obviously, those sacks, the mental errors on those sacks, it wasn't about a guy getting beat one-on-one. It was about a guy absolutely not even being blocked.
Right.
We'll fix that for sure.
Williams is a big, strong man, 6'7", 290 pounds. People in Jacksonville remember him from his days in Houston. I mean, this is a guy who's going to challenge you all over the field.
And he's playing very good right now.
8.5 sacks.
Yeah, he's playing. He had 3 sacks against the Colts this week. They really complement each other up front. They're very good, both, you know, not just in the pass rush, but
right,
stopping the run.
I think Kyle Williams is maybe the most underappreciated defensive tackle in the league. If Darryl Smith is the most underappreciated linebacker, then Williams is the most underappreciated tackle. He is a monster inside, very difficult to move.
That's a good comparison with him and Darryl. He's a tough guy to block one-on-one, and he'll be a challenge. I mean, he'll certainly be a challenge, and he has a high motor that does not stop, and it's just you can't help everybody up front. Somebody's going to have to do some single blocks, and they've got to play their best game.
All right, we need to take a break. We'll come back more with the head coach of the Jaguars after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. We started a discussion with the defense of the Buffalo Bills and Mario Williams. Let's talk about the offensive side of the football, and obviously Ryan Fitzpatrick is the quarterback up there, and they gave him a big deal last season. What are your thoughts on him? He's a bit of a gunslinger, isn't he?
Gunslinger, definitely strong arm. You need a strong arm up there. They have some, the weather. You have to deal with the weather. There's always a swirling wind in that stadium that comes off the lake, so you better have a pretty good arm on you to deal with it.
You know, they're talking about mid-50s and rain. So the temperature, high 40s to,
that's
early 50s.
Yeah, that's probably not too bad for this time of year. Yeah,
because they were talking about snow there last Sunday. I was looking at the at the weather forecast.
So. Well, that's right where the stadium is a direct hit from snow, lake effect snow. And when it comes in there, it comes in there. I've seen it a couple times.
I was about to say, I think a lot of folks have seen it on TV. So you've got a little knowledge about how the weather and how that stadium affects things like punting the football and kicking the football. And
yeah, there's a lot of the one thing I learned about being up there and being the head coach was game management for home games. It was really a lot of the games, and I'm more than half of the games that I coached there. It was like a 50-yard field. You were constantly making decisions based on the weather, the wind, because it was swirling, and the snow. It was a challenge, and I found it hard for me when I went to start calling plays again to call the plays and manage the game, which a lot of coaches do, not a lot, but a number of coaches do that. But up there, it was difficult because of the weather.
You know, most NFL coaches have someone responsible for the timeouts and the down and distance situation. Did you have someone with the wind?
No, it's
you just feel it that
way. We'd practice in it too, so I had a good feel for the what to do with.
Did you want to practice outdoors even though they have a beautiful facility there? When the weather got bad, so you had an advantage.
We did, not every day,
right?
But we did enough that when we got into it, it wasn't like it was a shock to us.
Gave you a sense of what you could expect. Is it as pronounced as the old Giant Stadium was, where they'd open the tunnel on the north end?
There's just one, when you when you're in the stadium, there is one corner of the stadium that does have just a slight opening, and that wind comes through there, and it just whips around the stadium. And it's just I saw a field goal, a very short field goal, get kicked against that wind and did not reach the goal line. I mean, it just sat there like frozen in air, frozen in time, and just dropped straight down.
Thank God we're not talking about lake effect snow this week.
No, I don't think we're going to. I think we're going to have great weather. And this is a great place to play football. They have great fans like we do, and it's a great environment.
Yeah, the environment is special. You can see it when you pull up, and all those RVs are parked outside Ralph Wilson Stadium.
They start pulling up on Tuesdays
to get their spots.
They do. They really do. It's big up there.
All right. We'll come back with more with the head coach of the Jaguars. Looking forward to Sunday's game against the Bills when we return. And when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. There are six Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. And we're back after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Well, you need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today, a proud sponsor of the Jaguars. Coach, you know, the last 2 weeks you've faced Arian Foster and Chris Johnson, two different backs but two excellent runners who are near the top of the AFC. And Foster had 77 yards and didn't get into the end zone. And Chris Johnson had 80 yards and didn't get into the end zone. This week you see C.J. Spiller. What have you done well the last 2 weeks to take a run defense that had been, you know, struggling to improve it, and what do you have to do to stop Spiller?
Much more disciplined of being exactly where, you know, you have gaps that you're responsible for. Linebackers have, we call, ear hole techniques, where you're coming down and your ear hole and lineman coming off and really just trying to not create any gaps for a runner to hit. And you know, I know they had the 77 and 80 yards, but they were hard-earned. I mean, they were hard-earned runs. Chris Johnson had the 30-yarder that hurt us late in the game, but you're talking about a guy that at any time can go the distance like he did against the Dolphins. I mean, he went untouched a couple of times for big plays.
He's a guy you hold your breath
every
when
time
he's
he
got the ball.
Every time he touches it. And we got a guy coming in like this. We're going up to see with C.J. Spiller. He's very dangerous. Great career at Clemson.
From Union County, just west of here.
Yes, yes.
So, somewhat of a local guy.
Explosive player that we've got it. We've got to be where we're supposed to be, and I think we're tackling better. But the one thing about our guys, they are swarming to the football. I mean, if you watch yesterday, for whatever reason, we look like we're in a different speed than the Titans were. They were.
Which is surprising because they were coming off their bye.
They're coming off their bye, but our guys just play with great energy. And I've said it a whole bunch of times. We had a great week of practice. These guys had fun. I mean, at practice. I mean, they like each other. I mean, it's evident. And
it sounds like they felt good coming off of a strong performance in Houston.
That too, and they don't want to let any guy. Every guy doesn't want to let the other guy down, and it's very. You know, it's impressive how they were swarming the ball yesterday.
Well, you're not the only guy who's probably looking forward to going back to Buffalo. I bet Paul Posluszny is eager to get up there and put a helmet on somebody.
I'm sure. You know, you always, your former teams, you'd like to put a good showing on, no question about
and
that.
Paz just continues to make play after play.
Great player. He's a no-nonsense, come to work. You want a description of blue collar?
Oh, it's him.
It's him.
You bet. And I loved his comment. I don't know, we touched on it last week. His comment in the locker room in Houston with blood running down his face when his – someone asked him about the cut. He goes, "Yeah, my fiance decided she liked me for my charm." I mean, that's old school all the way.
Oh, it is.
It's Chuck Bednarik like.
I mean, he rarely cracks a smile. I mean, he's just so business. And I play with him a little bit. You know, I'll walk by and I'll say knock knock, and just because he knows I'm trying to get something,
right.
Try to have a little fun with him, so it's not all, no nonsense football. But he's great to. He's great for our defense.
Well, and, you know, when you talk about the swarming, C.J. Spiller is the kind of guy that if somebody misses and slides, he's a change of direction guy, isn't he?
He is. He is, and he sees any kind of space. It's a one cut and out of there. So we got to be there, and then our second level, our safeties, our corners really supported the run better yesterday. They were very active, and we got hit, you know, early with Derek Cox going down and Aaron Ross, and Rasheen had to play 50 snaps yesterday, and Mike Harris, our rookie from Florida State, had to go out to play corner.
He's playing pretty well, isn't he?
He's playing very good. The game's not too big for him, but he had a big sack yesterday, part of a sack. He tackles very good. But we had some guys that had to step up. and play a lot of snaps for us yesterday.
With injuries in the defensive backfield, including Rasheen Mathis, who made a couple of big plays.
Really was not planning on, he was basically going to play if there was an emergency, and there was. We had two corners, our two starting corners were out of the game, and played much more than he had anticipated. He played well. Proud of him, to step in there and do what he did. But Kevin Rutland, same thing, had to step in there and play. But that's the way the NFL is these days.
And it was great to get Dwight Lowry back.
Good to have him back. He's just a force on the field and big play there at the end of the game. Those are the things we have just not been able to just for some reason make that kind of play to seal some of these games. And it was great to have it happen.
And they're going to have to be on their game because Stevie Johnson is a guy who can make plays down the field. Six catches yesterday for 106 yards. And, I mean, he's not had a huge year by his standards. But when you look at him, he seems to make big catches at the right moment.
Very reliable, very dangerous receiver, quarterback trust for all throws. He knows this guy's going to get open for him, and we got to take care of this guy.
Yeah, he had five catches good. The last time that we saw him back in 2010. All right, let's take a break. We'll wrap up the Mike Mularkey Show here on a Monday evening right after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show. Don't forget, Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff here on the Jaguars Radio Network. For those of you listening to our flagship station, WOKV, the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show starts your football Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Jaguars pregame picks up the entire network at noon. Kickoff at 1, followed by the Winn-Dixie postgame show and the Southern Ford Dealers scoreboard show. And it's hard to describe to people just how much more fun a week is coming off of a win. You start immediately looking forward to the next Sunday, eager to play.
We're
I bet those guys are revved up and ready to go.
Yeah, well, I gave them today. It was a victory Monday. It helps the coaches, too, get prepared for next week's game.
Right.
The negative is there's a lot to be learned from this tape, a lot good and bad that we have to learn from. And
guys watched it on their own?
Yes.
Okay.
And at some time we'll get to it with the coaches. But, it was, again, well-earned, and they deserved it.
So what was this about a rule about offensive linemen jumping into the stands? What did I miss? I didn't even see him jumping into the stands.
Well, even in the preseason, I don't know if you've watched, but our offensive line, after every touchdown, not only are our players hand the ball to the official most of the time, our offensive line has made a beeline to the end zone to high-five all the fans in the stands.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, I love it. I don't know how they have the energy after long drives to go down there, but I was I was warned by the officials yesterday that if we have two players go up into the stands like the Lambeau Leap in Green Bay, and I didn't realize...
Wait, you've got big guys getting up and over that wall?
Well, they tried.
Okay. I was going to say.
I think one of them made it. I'm not sure who it was, but they warned me. They said if Brewster, number 60, would have made it, and they kind of gave me a measurement. They said,
Coach, he's one of the shortest guys.
They said, Coach, he had to have gotten up about 3 inches. But they said if he'd have made it up to the stands, up to the... it would have been a penalty. And I'm like, you're kidding me, right? I'm being warned about my linemen jumping into the stands.
It's been a weird year.
First of all, I didn't know you couldn't have two up there, but I certainly wasn't going to think it was – I would see Cecil and Blackman and all and Mercedes.
I'm
and
trying
all
to think of who could get over that wall. That's not.
I mean, I had to go address them on the bench. I said, hey, listen now.
It's not like Buffalo where you get up and over that wall.
Yeah, you can get
high.
Over
it. It's pretty high here.
No, here – and it was fun because, I said, look, next time we score, because I'm – yeah, we're going to score some more in this game. We're going to score more touchdowns. You guys coordinate who's going up into the
somebody think.
So it was. Those are things that you can have some fun with them when they're playing good and you have a lead and you got a chance to win the game.
Five games to play. What's the message to your team?
We're still. We want to finish strong. We want to make progress, and I think we've done that for 2 weeks in a row in a number of areas. There's a lot of good things going on in all three phases, and we want to just keep taking steps towards finishing up strong.
Dig 3 feet deeper, right?
3 feet deeper.
Just keep on
going. That's the message, 3 feet deeper.
3 feet from gold, folks. If you're looking for a good story, read it. Coach, thanks so much.
Thanks
appreciate
a lot,
your
Brian.
Time. Have a good week. And thanks to you for joining us. Thanks, Joe. Have a great night, everybody.